This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
And good afternoon. A beautiful day. We'll expect maybe a little shift in our forecast, though, here over the next couple of days. In the meantime, we are all staying home, staying healthy, and folks are starting to get a little more frustrated with some of the latest announcements to come out on Friday. Joining us to give his perspective on that, we have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Welcome, Senator. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Dave. Good to be with you. Doing pretty well, considering the circumstances.
Well, we had a protest in Memorial Park on Friday. I think that was just prior to the governor announcing extended stay-home orders through May 31st and a little bit more detail on his four-phase plan for reopening business. You also put out kind of a little bit of an e-newsletter out with your thoughts on that as well, and some more links to all the specifics on that. And first off, I wanted to talk with you a little bit more about that. And I'd imagine you've been getting lots of comment or questions from people here in the 12th District. So what are you hearing so far since the governor announced his four-phase plan to reopen businesses since Friday?
Well, I've been hearing a lot of continued concern and frustration, frankly, from people, business owners, employees who do want to get back to work. But I also hear from people who are elderly, who are, you know, still concerned from a health and safety standpoint. Every time I send out one of those email newsletters, we get a lot of feedback, and that's always helpful. I really appreciate the connection I have with the people I serve, and I value people's feedback, and people are very honest with me. But I do sense, because I feel that way too, an increasing level of frustration. And so the governor's news, you know, it was there's good news and bad news in what he shared about the extension, both from a health standpoint and from an economic impact. On one hand, you know, I'm excited about things like fishing and hunting and state parks and some of the DNR sites. I know a lot of people who have communicated with me about golfing and other outdoor recreation activities. They're very pleased about that. But I am beginning to hear from people, too. What does it mean when the governor says we can do elective surgeries or residential construction, the projects that are partially completed can resume? So there are still questions about the interpretation of some of the things. And then, of course, there's just the state aspects, and then there's federal aspects. So some of the DNR sites and WDFW sites, some of those opportunities will be reopened on May 5th. But then what about the U.S. Forest Service sites, which are federal and in our area? So there are some questions there. And while some of the economy is already open because they are deemed essential and always have been, there'll be more opportunities on May 5th, but then there are an increasing number of people who are contacting me who are afraid that they won't be able to resume their activities. And when the governor issued this four-phase approach and you do the calendar work, it's going to be well into the summer before some of those folks can be back to more full operations, which is concerning for our economy, a state economy that relies so heavily on sales tax and business taxes to fund key services and governments.
We, of course, put a poll up yesterday. It's been like 24 hours, and it just asks the simple question, with the staggered four-phase plan for reopening businesses with up to three-week intervals between phases, do you approve of the governor's plan? You know, I would have expected likely answer probably would have been no. I wouldn't have expected 92% of the now 1,859 responses in about 24 hours now to be no. Does that number surprise you, 92%? And again, this is by no means scientific, but it does limit to one reply from an IP address, but that's a pretty resounding number.
Oh, a very high number, and I think that just goes to the people's frustrations and you know, for a while, I think most people, because I was raised here too, so I tend to think, well, you know, I represent our area, and if I have certain feelings, then maybe those are shared by the broader population. I certainly would hope so. And I've sort of felt for a while that, you know, it makes sense to kind of lock down and do some of these things in the shorter term. But at this stage, I think we should, as a state, be moving away from a one-size-fits-all Olympia-based set of directives. And the governor should at least allow local elected officials, county by county, to make local decisions based on their local health data. I certainly respect our sets of county commissioners, for example, in Chelan and Douglas County, and I would think it would make a lot of sense in regions that have low infection rates that they should have some flexibility in making some local decisions. Now, maybe commissioners, for example, in Chelan County, commissioners Boogert, England, and Overbay would still have, you know, strong restrictions, but at least some of those decisions would be made locally. And so I think anytime you have anyone, and I guess this isn't just a knock on the governor, anytime you have anyone making decisions in Olympia based on all 7 million people in the state of Washington, you're going to have concerns. And I think that's what we're seeing.
What are your concerns, first off? Obviously, I know you have concerns for businesses and businesses surviving this. What is this going to do to the state budget?
Oh, I think it's going to be devastating, Dave. And the longer this goes on with, I guess, what one could consider now a partial economy is going to be probably in the multi-billions of dollars in the next budget biennium. So right now, we're about halfway through the current biennium. We just finished the second session for the 2 years. We'll probably make it through because we have a pretty healthy budget stabilization account and reserve fund in our state. We're getting assistance from the federal level. Kind of have to question where the money is coming from at the federal level, because they've struggled to balance their budget over there since the Clinton administration. But with the state reserves that we've had, plus the infusion of federal dollars, hopefully we'll be able to make it through on a cash flow basis for the state budget for this cycle. But looking ahead to next year, and next time we go over to Olympia in January of 2021, it's going to be tough. And the difficulty is when someone looks at the state budget, half of the state budget, actually a little more than half, is invested in K-12 education. And that is pretty much tied up with that state Supreme Court McCleary decision from some years ago. And then beyond the 51% that's invested in K-12 education, there's higher ed and early learning. And so that's a huge portion of the budget. Plus, there's health care costs, and some of our health care costs, our expenditures at the state level, are tied to matching funds from the federal government. And so then there's an increasingly smaller portion of the budget where you can actually trim back and cut back and realize some savings. And where do you do that? You can't do it in terms of our correction system. It's difficult to do it for natural resources. So it, whenever there is a, and our state has about a $54 billion two-year budget, when you see a multi-billion dollar deficit, which is what many economists are now predicting, it's going to be really difficult. And so that's why I feel it's very important to, you know, begin more earnestly reopening this economy, so long as we can do it safely and responsibly. And that's the important thing. So I think there were a lot of things at the local level, a lot of businesses that could resume their activities with proper social distancing protocols. And if the businesses can develop a plan locally to, you know, meet those standards, I think, you know, they should be given the opportunity to reopen. This is as much now about people's livelihoods as it is about their lives. I mean, at some point you just can't separate the two. And so for some people who are in the elderly age group and in that population, I really think they need to really continue to take precautions even into the summer. But for some of the others, so long as we can do these things safely with proper social distancing, wearing masks, wearing personal protective equipment, I would like to see more businesses have that opportunity to do that. Now, when it gets into restaurants, the governor talked about some of the restaurants in phase two or phase three moving into 50% capacity. You know, maybe for some of the restaurants and where people are in close proximity to each other, yeah, maybe it's going to be more difficult. For movie theaters, for large gatherings and sporting events, yeah, that's going to be more difficult. But for many, many of these activities, it seems like the governor, while I appreciate the steps he did take for fishing, hunting, state parks, golfing, elective surgeries, partial residential construction, I do believe he could be much more aggressive in terms of our economic recovery.
I don't know if you've been contacted by retailers, but right now we're trusted to go into a store and a shop for groceries. We're trusted to go into a store, some types of stores, and the retailer, I won't mention them, where you can buy groceries. You can also buy furniture. Yet we're not allowed to go, and this is kind of a point that has been argued in a lot of different ways, but we're not trusted to go into a store and just buy furniture. So I guess we have to wait till phase two before going in for most typical kinds of in-store retail where it's not permitted right now. And so I guess people not being trusted to do something in one fashion that they're already allowed to do and trusted to do right now, if it involves a store that sells food, that seems to be one sense of frustration, I would imagine. Secondly, the lengthy period of time between moving between phases is what's likely to stretch this out well into most of the month of July. I don't know if you're noticing the types of comments and complaints that you're getting from anyone that you've heard of so far, but do either of those kind of ring true with the feedback that you're getting?
Very much so. In fact, you know, that word of trust, I think, is very important. And what I think I've always admired is the people that our community elects locally. And so a philosophy of mine, whether it's, you know, dealing with a budget issue, the concept of comprehensive sex education, or some of these other issues, even in terms of health and economy, I think we need to entrust our local leaders to be able to make informed decisions as well for what's in the best interest of the communities that they serve. You know, none of our county commissioners want to endanger the lives of people in our counties. And so while the governor made some, he provided some flexibility to a limited number of counties, I think a lot of the counties could be entrusted with making the decisions locally based on their own local health data in close communication with their local health organizations. I think they should have much more flexibility to make these decisions. And so I guess my personal philosophy of governance for pretty much everything else in terms of public policy extends to this as well, that the people closest to an issue are usually in the best position to make the best decisions for their local communities. And so over time, my feedback to the governor would be let's infuse a significant amount of greater local control and flexibility in some of these decisions, especially for areas that have low infection rates. Now, if they make some decisions and there's a spike in infections, well, then maybe we need to then revert back to some of the other more stringent regulations. But if the local counties and municipalities can demonstrate that they're able to move ahead without, you know, while preserving the data that needs to be met, then they should have continued flexibility to reopen their local economies, because what we're experiencing in Central Washington has always been, for this and for pretty much every other issue that will confront the state of Washington, very different from King County, Pierce County, and Snohomish County. And that's not to say that we shouldn't be very strict about social distancing, and we need more testing, we need to do more testing, we need more personal protective equipment, we need to be very diligent about all these things. But, you know, anytime we're trying to do one set of regulations or one approach for every county in the state of Washington, that to me is problematic.
Our 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us, and whether or not there might be a special session was kind of my little teaser there going into the break. Senator Hawkins, is that a possibility and any inkling yet whether we may see that coming up this summer or into the fall before you get back in Olympia this winter?
Yeah, there has been no inkling yet, although my colleagues and I have had some discussions and speculations about it. There's a couple things that could compel us to get back. Obviously, I don't know how we do that with this limitation on large gatherings, but I think if there's a cash flow situation in the state of Washington that would require us to get back there, we would. Although, as I mentioned before, with the reserve account that we have, with our rainy day fund that we've built up over many years, and then with also the influx of federal dollars, that is being depleted, but we still have some time with that. And then also we did authorize a $200 million emergency bill for COVID-19 response, testing kits and everything. And if the dollars run out on that authorization before we anticipated, then we could come back probably in the summer. Late summer would be my expectation. What's discussed at a special session, you know, sometimes everything ends up getting on the table, but hopefully it would be something very narrowed and focused related to this response and how we would provide federal or state assistance to complement the federal assistance. But, you know, there is a lot of speculation, too, to your prior question about a potential projected budget deficit. What's going to happen? How are we going to fill that? And I think a lot of my colleagues, unfortunately, might see this as an opportunity for new revenues and new taxes. And in particular, I think a lot of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have been focused on how we can get an income tax implemented in the state of Washington. And I think after all people have suffered through with this coronavirus, it would be devastating to once we get back, probably not in a special session, but next year, to have to fight back against an income tax. So hopefully, you know, if we need a special session, we'll have one. More likely, we'll be back in January for heavy lifting. But really, until we get more testing, more personal protective equipment, and truly some antivirals or some vaccines from the federal government, I'm afraid we won't be back to normal for quite a while.
Well, I want to let folks know how they can get in touch with your office. Your staff can help lead folks to the right agency. I noticed on that email that was out Friday, there were plenty of contact points. So how do folks email your office?
Well, my email is brad.hawkins@leg.wa.gov. So brad.hawkins@leg.wa.gov. Probably the best way to reach me is through my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org. And on my website, through the email newsletters, people can review just what you were talking about, where we've really worked hard. We always have, but especially in these recent weeks, to get as much information as we can out to people that we think would be helpful. So there's on my website a lot of good links to the coronavirus website, the federal assistance, the State Employment Security Department, and a lot of good contact information, both websites and phone numbers. So if anybody has questions about that, needs to get in contact with a federal or state agency or entity, please reach out to us. In addition to hearing feedback from people, which we have, about their frustrations about the situations and their concerns about their health and safety, we have fielded an enormous number of communications with people with questions about how to get contact and in communications with folks who can facilitate their state and federal assistance. And that's something that our office really prides ourselves in, helping people get connected with those resources. So if anybody out there is listening and needs help, please contact us, and we will work really hard to try to make that happen for you.
I'll leave with one final question. Normally, when we have problems with the federal budget, we hear about federal employees are getting laid off, and the parks are closed, park services closing down, and this, that, and the other, or state employees are being laid off. Are you aware of any state employees that are being laid off because of COVID-19?
I am not aware of state employees being laid off, although I do anticipate that conversation will be on the table when we reconvene for the next legislative session, looking ahead at the next two-year budget. Also, the employees have a collective bargaining agreement, which for state employees that the governor negotiates with them, and obviously additional benefits and additional costs and just simply a whole renegotiation of benefits and salaries probably would be on the table as well. There's state employees, but then there's also the federal employees and local employees, either for the cities that we live in or the local governments, the school district employees. Even though most of the funding for school districts comes from the state, school district employees are actually local government employees. So I think the conversation about layoffs and cost savings will be something that at every level of government that they'll likely be considering in the weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, because this depends on if you're in the private sector or the public sector. This is a whole different argument for you.
Right, and obviously, you know, people's health and safety is super important. I want to encourage everybody to continue to watch out for themselves in that regard, but also people's livelihoods, are getting our economy restarted, generating the revenues through our economy that fund all of the employees and all of the services that at all levels of government. That's extremely important too. So while I was very vocal about some of my frustrations today, I think the most important thing right now is to be able to try to find a way to work together and find a balance so that we can protect people's lives and protect their livelihoods. And I sure hope that we can get to that point in the weeks ahead and ultimately some breakthroughs in antiviral medications and ultimately a vaccine sooner rather than later, I think will be our saving grace.
All right. Hey, we appreciate the perspective. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
But that's Senator Brad Hawkins, his thoughts on the COVID-19 response from the governor today. And we appreciate his time on the agenda.